center in the thrift store, and he's just doing a great job as a forklift operator. Roy is another guy. I wish I could have brought him along this morning. We were going to try to see if he could come with us, and it did not work out because of probation. Met Roy about 12 years ago, and have been walking with him in many ways through some really difficult times, falling away from the Lord and repenting and back and forth a number of times. Roy, we have a video that Roy's sharing a bit of his story.
My name is Roy Knight, and I grew up in Dalhart, Texas. Went to church, Southern Baptist Church. We were there every Wednesday, every revival, every Sunday with my dad and my grandma. Then when I got to be 13, I moved to Dalhart with my mom. Didn't go to church as much. Kind of started getting into beer and alcohol. Went off to college to get my business degree. Got married. Got divorced. Was falling away from God. And ended up marrying again 3 other times throughout the bad years. Then I met Jill. And we started having children. Around 2012, McKenna was born, and she had opiates in her system. DHS stepped in and took all of our children away. We had asked them if there's any possible way they could anyway get them into one home, because they were so close. The siblings were very close, and it would be helpful for them. And DHS, they said there was no possible way. And the very next day, we got a call from DHS that was very happy and excited and said, "You're never gonna believe this, but a Mennonite family came into our office. They asked them how would they like 7 children, taking 7 children. And they asked them where to go, what time, and they were there the next day. Come to find out, they were part of the New Horizons ministry. We got right with God again with the help of New Horizons. My children were learning things about God that I was failing as a father to teach them. I was putting work ahead of my kids and my family, thinking that had to come first. 2024, in February, my mom passed away, and I, after 12 years of being clean and sober, I chose to relapse on meth. It came 7 times stronger than it had ever came, and ended up going to losing my kids. Ended up going to jail for 8 months, and it was a very traumatic experience. Scott, the chaplain, would come in and pray individually with any of us inside of our cells, inside of our pods, and he would pull us out for one-on-ones to go to his office. Always look forward that you know, we started reading the Bible. Scott would get us all Bibles, give us verses to read. We would go to a singing group once a week that was totally awesome, praising God. He'd bring around books, Christian books, for us to read. And Scott has an amazing gift, and he would help so many people. I've seen him in jail help people that it was just blew everybody's mind. And he's really in touch, and he really cares. I couldn't have made it. I honestly thought about killing myself when I was in jail. And that's when Arlen had came in to visit with Scott and told me that this is a new chance, that God has given me another chance. Even though it felt horrible, if it wasn't for Scott, I'd never felt so alone. And he brought me to a place of understanding that God was working on me, and everything he said was right. The time in jail that I spent, it really changed my life completely from what God was working on me. The first 2 months, to be honest, I was trying to get right with God to be released. I was trying to just, every prayer, you know, was to get me out of here. And then I realized Scott had told me that, you know, I still have to pay for my sins through, you know, I made a bad choice. And God is with me, even though God had forgave me. And from that moment on, I surrendered. I surrendered everything in me. And I believe that, I believe God put me in that situation with no contact whatsoever from the outside world besides Scott and the ministry team to learn to put him first and to rely on him. And it changed my life. It changed my life. I came out with a completely new look on life. I grew a relationship with Jesus. He cleansed me, and I was so glad. The cleansing process was very, very emotional. Wake up in the middle of the night crying, things that I'd forgotten about. He really, really worked on me and saved my life. I was there for 8 months with no contact with anybody in the outside world. My dad, my stepmom. Scott would, I would ask him if he could talk to me, and he would pull me into his office. We'd do one-on-ones, and we'd pray over my children, and he'd reassure me that they're in a safe place, that they're being taken care of. It was such a relief to know that they were attending Kids Club and the ARC, the summer camps, and they had people that were there to help them, to guide them, to pastor them, and it did my heart really good. When I got out of jail, the only contact I had was Arlen and Scott, and when they had helped me finally get into a sober living community, my daughter, Stephanie, called me and talked to me for hours, that she loved me, she forgives me, that she's so happy that I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm changing my life around. And I continue to pray for total restoration. But one of my hardest headed children that I love dearly, and she got her hard headedness from me, and she called me. She wouldn't respond to any of my calls or texts. She called me 24 hours later, and she was crying and bawling, and said she's 21 years old. She said she needed her daddy, and she's so sorry for the cold shoulder, but something just put it on her heart that she needed to call me and wanted me back in her life. And I've still got three other ones that I'm working on, but they're going to come around. They're going to come around.
I get to see Roy basically every day. He works in our office now as dispatcher for our thrift stores, and he is on a healing journey. But you know, I am too. So are you. We are all on a healing journey. Doesn't matter if it's Roy or Jeremy or Stephen or Bob or Jill or Arlen or Nina or Davian or Trinity or Alicia or any of you. We go through life putting on a pretty good exterior, kind of have it together, when sometimes on the inside it's still quite messy. Want to read a few verses out of Isaiah Isaiah 53, some verses here that have meant a lot to me and speak, I believe they do speak directly to us because they're scriptures about Jesus. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." I was reading through Luke recently, and as I read through verse 12, just seeing the crowds of people that would come to visit him. And even in chapter 15, it talks about tax collectors and sinners coming. They just wanted to be with Jesus. It says here there was nothing, there's no beauty that we should desire him, but there was something about Jesus that I believe every one of us, if we had the opportunity, we would be going, we'd want to be with Jesus too. We want to experience that with him. It goes on, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." I don't know what your sorrows or griefs are that you have been carrying or that you are carrying, disappointments, sorrow that my family has walked through in the last year. It's been almost exactly a year ago where my 43-year-old sister suddenly passed away. And it's just interesting when a year later, it feels like I'm missing her more now than I ever did before. Last tour, we couldn't do the tour because of funeral and things that were happening then. And it's just like now, it's like I miss her more now than I did then. But it says here that he has borne our grief, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And then it says, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he, Jesus, he's borne our griefs, and he carries our sorrows." There's a place that we can go at the foot of the cross where we can pour out our griefs and our sorrows. He understands. He is acquainted with them. It goes on, "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." He paid the price. He paid the price for murderers. He paid the price for religious people, for prideful people, for people that thought they're better than anyone else, for people that have hated in their heart, but they would never say it outwardly. God took those iniquities. Jesus took those sins on them all. But I'd like to especially focus on the one phrase here, "And with his stripes we are healed." This past year, we have what we call Daniel fast. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Every January, we spend 2, sometimes 3 weeks in a fast as an organization, following Daniel's request when he was in Babylon. But the focus of the fast this year was on healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, relational healing. Relational healing, and then also spiritual healing. And as we began to fast and pray into those things, the surprising thing was how much pain began to come to the surface in so many of our lives. You pray for healing, it's like you have to realize you're sick first. And so as we prayed, those things continued to surface. Feelings of rejection, being misunderstood, betrayal, maybe broken trust. I don't know. You know, if we pray for healing here this morning, what are the things that begin to surface in our lives? What are the places that where we need to be healed? It says here, "By his stripes we are healed," and I believe that these stripes can heal anything. It can heal us emotionally. It can heal us physically. It can heal us heal the relationships in our lives. Many times when we have pain in our lives, we fall into two ditches. We can either fall into the ditch of being a victim, or we can fall into the ditch of ignoring the pain. I'm just going to get over it. I'm just going to be a strong person and move on. We know that both of these are wrong responses. But when we can admit, "I was wounded, that this thing happened to me, But then we can take it to the foot of the cross and we can ask Jesus to apply the stripes, apply the healing to our lives. And many times we try to do that alone, but what I've discovered is that healing many times happens in the context of community. So often we are wounded in community, especially, and some of the things that I've journeyed with, just being candid, is the community or the church. I received some wounds from that, and I'm guessing there's some of you can identify with that as well. And one of the things as I worked through this and I got help for this is I was told, you know, sometimes it's really hard to have a relationship with Jesus when you've been hurt by his body. And we need to allow God to heal and to work in our lives and find healing so we can relate to him in the best way. And sometimes that healing happens in layers. It's like an onion, right? It was interesting, a few years ago, my wife was explaining these things of how God works on us in layers. And so she told one of our daughters, she said, so it's like an onion. And before she could continue, she said, oh, you mean, she said, we're like onions. And my daughter said, you mean we stink and make people cry. No, it's just that layer after layer. And when there's something as significant, I would say, as sexual abuse, which I've experienced from the time 6 to 11, some of those layers take a long time to heal. But there is healing. Just within the last probably 9 months, working through some of that in my own life. What is it that drives me? What makes it, why am I so driven? And recognizing some of the connections, yeah, that I needed healing. So if you've experienced pain, if you need healing this morning, just recognize that healing often happens in community. It has to be a safe place. There have to be brothers, has to be some sisters that you can sit down with and share your heart, and where they can help you get out of whatever ditch you're in and get you on the right path. Jesus is our healer. And I just want to establish that this morning. We can go to so many things. For me, I went to problem solving and people pleasing was where I went to try to feel good about myself and not deal with the pain of my past. But it's at the feet of Jesus where healing occurs. Father, this morning I just pray for each one of us that are here today. Lord, I thank you so much that you've made a way that we can be healed. Lord, the wounds that happen, whether it's relationally, emotionally, whether there were situations that happen, when even, Father, for some situations where we end up blaming you for what happened, Lord, I just pray that you would step into those situations and those places in our heart that are still full of pain and need to be healed, Lord, we just ask for your healing. And Father, show us brothers and sisters that we can walk with, whether it's for our pain or theirs, and God, that we could find healing. God, we know that when there is healing, then there is freedom. And I just pray, God, that you would bless us with that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we wrap it up this morning, just a few quick things I'd like to share yet about New Horizons. If you would like to have our newsletter, we send out a newsletter quarterly. You can, if you have your little packets, I believe these should have been handed to you on the way in. If not, there's some in the back. Anyway, on the back of these, signing up for the newsletter, you can also, with that, you can sign up, you can get involved in other ways, which is you can pray for us, join the team. We have a number of opportunities, and then also give financially. If you would like, if you're a prayer warrior, we just invite you to join us in prayer. We have prayer cards on the table down in the outside the restrooms in the back by the gym. Prayer cards that you can do that, and you can sign up and receive frequent requests for prayer. That that website can also be reached with that QR code. Just a number of open positions, an HR manager. We do have, I don't know, somewhere around 160 or so employees. We needed someone that is good with HR. If that is you, and you enjoy policy and structure and some of that, would love to talk with you as well. Ascend Volunteers, always looking for more youth to come and help out with the thrift stores, the daycare, apprentice chaplain. We need another chaplain in the fall. We have two more coming early this this spring, and we need another one, female or male chaplains that could help out with the prison ministry. And a truck driver, if you are tired of driving in the east and you would like to drive truck in the west, where the mountains are big. The one run actually has 7 mountain passes to go over, so you have so your windshield time is very, very beautiful. And then also some thrift store management. Short-term positions, we need ARC volunteers, as I mentioned earlier, for the counselors this summer, and a nurse especially. And the dates are here, which you can talk with us afterwards. Camp week, for those of you youth who may want to come out for just a short time to check it out, have a little brochure on the back as well. Just come out, be at New Horizons for a week. Just a great opportunity. Our finances, we love when people join us with that. I should mention we do have thrift stores that cover all of our overhead. So as you give at any point, to know that 100% of the money that you donate goes directly to frontline ministry and to the kids ministries or into prison ministry. We just mentioned this, and I believe Sam was saying the offering today will go for New Horizons, which I greatly appreciate. And so if the support for this trip is for chaplains' salaries, for chaplains' support, people like Scott or the rest of the chaplains to be able to go in and help people like Roy. Your generosity does make a difference. For those of you who've given before, have a short clip here. Roy wanted to say thank you, and so we'll allow him to do that.
To those of you who support and donate to New Horizons Ministries, personally, I want to thank you. I don't know where I would be. I don't know where my life would be right now. And most importantly, my kids' lives. They're in a safe place. They were in a safe place the whole time I was in jail. And I really thank you. I don't know how else to put it, but thank you. And I hope God blesses you. And there's so many other people in jail, in prison, that have families that still have their families when they get out of jail. And their families are in a good place while they're there, and thank you for changing so many lives.
So as we end our part of the service, we have one more song, Jesus is My Healer. After this, we just turn it over to turn it back to you, Sam. And I would just say all that has been shared today is for God's glory, and for each of you, many of you, I'm sure, have your next door neighbor, you have somebody at work that you're ministering to, you're spreading the gospel, and I just want to bless and encourage all of you, keep it up. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and blessing us with sharing about the ministry and a message also. Nina, I did miss one of your siblings. You have a little brother Laverne here this morning also. In closing here, I'm just going to put a plug in for New Horizons. We have some of our members here who have served there. If you want to talk to them, I see Colin and Shallon back there. And Carolyn Miller, are you here? I saw a video, you on the video. I think she served there, and she must have been there last summer at camp also. But this is, I don't know. You come talk to me afterwards. I don't know of any other ministry that invests so much time, energy into the youth that come to serve there and into their staff. They do a tremendous job in just investing spiritually into their lives. And so, parents, if you're here and if your youth are looking for a place to go, New Horizons is a great place to serve. And a bonus is you get to enjoy the mountains of Colorado at the same time. A great ministry. You saw the opportunities there, prison chaplains. When our family lived there in 2014, there was one or two chaplains, and now there are how many? Nine?
Eight with two more coming.
Okay. So lots of opportunities there. So, thank you again for coming, being here. We're going to pray, and then there is a fellowship meal prepared for everyone is welcome to stay. I think it's the Acts 29 group. I'm not sure. Somebody correct me on that. But thank you for those of you who helped prepare the meal. Thank you for being here. We will pray, and you can be dismissed and take time to visit their table down in the connector room. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the blessing of being able to come together as a church to worship and to fellowship and to praise your name. Thank you for the food that's prepared for our physical bodies. We ask your blessing on it, and also bless those who prepared the meal. And I just pray that we would honor you in our fellowship this afternoon at the meal and also the rest of our day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming, and you are dismissed.